This first Sunday of a new year. It would seem that on a Sunday such as this, it really isn't adequate if I'm the only one welcoming you here, but that you would stand as you're able, would you turn to those around you, and let's welcome each other here. Just to look at a few announcements. We're looking at clubs resuming this coming Wednesday as well. Thank you for very generous donations for our church budget and financial situation. We have, I think, enough money to cover our expenses for this last year, and we're very grateful for your donations for that. I would like to invite any of those who are interested in catechism classes to get in touch with me. We'd like to take a look at what we believe and why that is important to us. And we'd like to begin those classes right around the time of our church retreat next month, but I would like to get a heads up about that from you. If you're interested in attending, just feel free to contact myself. You notice details in your insert about the church retreat coming up on February 9th to 11th. There's all kinds of details there, and there's costs and what to bring and important times and other notes. And there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the foyer for you to sign up there. Please avail yourself of that. Other announcements? Jerry, please.
Just a reminder that youth is starting up again this Wednesday. We're going to start at 7:30, and we're going to be doing underground church this week, so that should be a lot of fun. So thanks. That's all.
Thanks, Jerry and Judah. Are there other announcements for this morning? Often it seems at the beginning of a new year, people tend to be more reflective about resolutions or priorities in their life. My mother used to admonish me with, "A stitch in time saves nine." I used to come to her with some mending that should have happened a whole lot earlier. Other common sayings might be, "Don't rock the boat," "Clean up your plate so it will be a nice day tomorrow." It goes without saying that you should never have more children than you have car windows. I can relate to that. Too much of a good thing is? No, it's wonderful. Go the extra mile, it's never crowded. There's more to life than increasing its speed. We come to worship a God who also has priorities, creating a world able to sustain us, a Savior to redeem us, providing the Holy Spirit to guide and encourage us, and creating a church as a witness to his love and power. So for us at the beginning of a new year, what is our response? We come to worship this God, seeking that which pleases and glorifies his name. And a significant place to start would be to follow the instructions of the song, "Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my light." Be my hope, be my song, be my vision and be my guide. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live. Let's bow to pray. Come, Lord Jesus, be the center, so that nothing else crowds out the space that you occupy. Amen.
In Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." As we enter a new year, we know that we will be faced with all kinds of decisions and choices. Sometimes we'll make the right decision, and other times we will not. In all situations, we know we can come to the Lord, who will give us a clearer picture of what direction we need to go. So we need to seek him and be open to his voice and then follow through on what God is showing us. It is so comforting to know that we have a God to follow who has our best interests at heart. So the songs I've chosen this morning are all about being led by God and being willing to follow him. So let's stand together to sing Step by Step, and then we will go on with As with Gladness Men of Old.
Thank you.
seated. I would invite the ushers to come forward, please.
Let's bow to pray. We thank you, Lord, for the promise of a new year, the uncharted pages of a clean calendar, the glimpses of time which stretch out in front of us into a seemingly limitless horizon. And yet we acknowledge that you are the author of time. You are the one who knows all the days of our lives, knew them before we were even born. So to you we entrust our time, our days, and our lives. May we serve you in joyful commitment today and always. Amen. Dieter Lohan is leaving this coming Tuesday on a 3-year MCC assignment to Cambodia, or in Cambodia. He has recently completed a 4-year Honors International Development Studies program at Menno Simons College in Winnipeg. For his practicum, he completed a 1-year MCC Serving and Learning Together, or a SALT term, in Cambodia in 2015-2016. Last summer, he traveled with some of his professors to India, assisting them in their research, and previous to that, he spent a term of service in Indonesia. Yes, there is life outside of southern Manitoba for Tyler. All over the world he travels. We're fortunate to have him with us this morning, and we would ask that he would give us some more first-hand information about his time and where he's off to and what that's all about. And we would like to have a time of prayer for him as well as ascending time for him. Tyler, would you come and give us a little more information about where things are happening for you?
All right, so as Pastor Rudy said, I will be leaving this coming Tuesday for the 3-year term in Cambodia. A little background, Cambodia is between Vietnam and Thailand. So just if you need a map, I have some at the end of the service with little pictures of where it is. So as Pastor Rudy said, I'll be with Mennonite Central Committee 2018 to 2021 in Phnom Penh in Cambodia. So my position, it's a bit of a mouthful, but it's planning, monitoring, evaluation, and reporting coordinator. So basically what that means is I'll be working with MCC's Cambodian partners. So I'll be kind of in the middle person between MCC and the partner organizations. So MCC Cambodia has a few areas that they work in specifically. So they work with food security and nutrition. There's a number of partners in the countryside that work with the farmers there. Most of the farmers are rice farmers who have quite small plots of land And so there's some challenges to meet basic nutrition needs. So I'll be working with those partners in different areas of reporting and planning of those projects. There's education projects as well, so a number of school teacher training opportunities. And then a really interesting one that works with individuals that have been deported from the United States back to Cambodia. Their parents came as refugees during the 80s, and the U.S. government is deporting these individuals for not having proper paperwork, and so MCC supports these people in the kind of the integration process into Cambodian society, because their families are from Cambodia, but they never grew up there. So I'll be working with a number of different partners in that capacity in the capital city in Phnom Penh. It's about a city about 2 million people. It's a pretty crowded, busy place, but I'm really looking forward to being back there and kind of re-establishing some of those relationships that I made last time I was there. So it's an exciting opportunity. I have a few prayer cards that I'll have set up in the back, and you're more than welcome to take those and ask questions if you have. So it's an exciting opportunity. MCC does really incredible work. As Rudy said, I was in Cambodia 2015 to 2016, and that was with their SALT program, which is mentioned in the bulletin. But I would really recommend that as a pretty amazing opportunity to serve and understand faith in different places and learn what that looks like. So I think that's all I have to share this morning.
What is the language, and how fluent are you, and how is that going to work?
So the language is called Khmer. It's not the closest language that it would be Thai, probably. So if you've ever seen Thai script, it's quite quite curly, I would say, and there's a lot of different symbols. So the language looks completely different than the written English language. So I would say I have a fairly high level of conversational ability, but I haven't studied reading or writing yet. So that once I arrive, the structure of my first few months there, I will do 3 days a week of language study, and then 2 days a week in the MCC office, getting familiarized with the processes and with the partners and that kind of thing. Because MCC, one of their emphases is understanding the local community and culture to the greatest ability that one can, and language study is a significant part of that. So it'll be a pretty steep learning curve again, but I'm excited about that, and I think it's a really beautiful language. It's not the most relevant in southern Manitoba, but it is a fun one to learn.
It's also a lot warmer there, yeah?
That's right. So during the cold snap the last couple of weeks, it was about 70 degrees warmer there than it is here. So when I checked the weather for the end of this coming week, it was about 30 degrees Celsius, and that's pretty average. During the hot season, which would be April to May, and so that's the hot and dry season, it would be typically about 40 degrees, 40 to 45 depending, which it is hot, and the unfortunate thing is most places don't have air conditioning, so typically 12 till about 2 in the afternoon is kind of a rest time, so people kind of, the offices, government offices, banks, everything is typically closed, or they only have a few people working, and then most people will take a little nap during that period of time to stay away from the heat.
That's a pretty major commitment, isn't it? To go somewhere where you don't always know the language, to participate in some assignment that is going to be worked out and will be worked out as you are there some more. And I think we owe Tyler nothing less than let's send him with our prayer support and our encouragement and our blessing as he goes and embarks on this adventure and work and time and your commitment. We appreciate your dedication to this and to work in the area that you have done a lot of studying in. That's a real good fit, I think, for, yeah. I would invite people to come. Let's pray for Tyler. Let's send him out with our blessing. Let's do that. Please come. Is testing this, oh yeah, mic works, good, good. I'm just gonna pass this mic, we'll start at that side over there, we'll just pass it down over to the end here, and when we're finished, I'll close with a time of prayer. Let's start at this end over here. We'll just pass it to whoever wants to go first.
Yeah. I guess it's me. Okay, let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this day. Thank you for Tyler. Thank you that he has a desire to do what you ask. I ask, Lord, that you would give him the protection, but more so just the ability to listen, to understand what you want, and to fulfill what you ask him to do.
God, I thank you for Tyler, and I thank you for the way that he cares about people who are vulnerable and in need, and not in places of power. And we know that you care about those people too. I pray that as he spends this time in Cambodia, that he would be able to use his giftings, his passion, his care for people, his intelligence to serve and support and hold up these people. I pray that he would be well supported and encouraged, and that you would carry him through the difficult times, and that he would experience joy to see the help that he's bringing to everyone around him.
Jesus, we thank you that you are the center, and that regardless of where we are, you are there. We thank you for Tyler and his commitment and his sense of adventure to follow you. And we pray that when those dark times do come, when questions arise, when doubts arise, that your light would remain faithful in his life, that he would be able to see it, know it, and know you to be faithful. We thank you that he has a team supporting him, that he has co-workers. We pray that they would be able to work as a team and recognize that it's your work they're doing, not their own. We pray for guidance as he learns a new language, as he expands the knowledge of a new language, culture, food, environment, duties. We ask that you would walk with him as only you can, Lord. Thank you.
Dear God, I just want to thank you for Tyler, and getting to know him over the last long while has been really good. And just thank you for his sense of adventure. And I pray that you just be with him in his time in Cambodia and help him to feel comfortable there and feel supported, and pray that you provide for him the things that he needs.
God, thanks so much for Tyler and his willingness to go. Father, I pray that you would reveal to him how you're providing everything that he needs for the journey and along the way. And God, I just pray that he would, above all, have trust in you and just continue to keep that trust in you throughout his time there and draw others to you.
Thank you for Tyler's yes to you, and just for creating space for him to use his giftings. I also want to pray for Jeff and Haley and for siblings back home. I pray that you would protect relationship.
Thank you, Lord, that you've given Tyler a heart to go and serve. I pray that the light that you have within will shine brightly in the darkness wherever he goes.
Father, thank you for Tyler's courage. Thank you for the passion you have given him and the servant heart you've given him. I ask that you go before him. I ask that you would protect him day by day and that you would fill him with more of your spirit day by day. I pray that you would grant him health. And I ask that you would bless the work of his hands.
Dear God, we thank you that we as a church can support Tyler. And we pray that he could feel that support and that we could continue to be faithful in praying for him. And that he could feel our prayers and whatever other things he might need, we could support him well. Amen.
Father, I ask that you guard Tyler's heart. In times when he's lonely, would you send encouragers in his path? And I also want to pray for his parents, that you would remind them daily that Tyler is in your care and that your hands are good hands.
Father, I thank you for the kind of encouragement that Tyler's courage in taking this step on Tuesday and for the coming 3 years gives to us. Father, let us be faithful here, as was already said, to pray for him. And we trust in you as parents and his family will do in this time, giving him into your care in this way, this kind of a way. But we trust that when he needs a covering of prayer, that you will tap one of us on the shoulder. You will ask us to pray. Father, help us to be faithful, to listen carefully for the kind of prayer covering that he's going to need, or the kind of money that he's going to need, or whatever is there. Father, when you ask us to stand alongside him, let us be found faithful. And I pray too for, I thank you for the joy that we see when he talks about this and he's excited about it and he's excited about learning curly languages better. And I just pray that you would continue to just keep sprouting that joy in him. As he brings you, your words, your obvious presence within him into the setting, wherever he's going to live, the room, the apartment, the I don't know what, and the work environment, all those places that he would bring you, Jesus, more of you into those spots.
We give you thanks, God, for the prayers of your people. And we give you thanks that you have gone on before to prepare the way for Tyler and for his family and for those relationships that he will leave here for a while. We give you thanks for opportunity to be connected through technology, through prayer. We give you thanks for, as has been mentioned, the joy and the excitement that he expresses over this form of ministry. We give thanks for his spirit of willingness, his commitment. May you honor that, and may we be a blessing to him on his journey as well. Amen.
Yesterday was Epiphany, so we just need to sing We Three Kings of Orient Are.
For this morning's text from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 18, I invite you to listen to these words as priorities or instructions that the writer has for his audience, and take note of the variety of them. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And the words that Ange read for us this morning, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubles. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. Reuben Chupp asks the question, you want to know my priorities? Take a look at my credit card statement and peruse my date book. I will find the time and money to realize what is important to me. Is he right? Journalist Giles Brandreth interviewed South African Archbishop, or Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and at the time Tutu was struggling with prostate cancer, raising the possibility that this could be his last interview. And what might he want to talk about? He said, "If this is going to be my last interview, I'm glad we are not going to be talking about politics. Let us talk about prayer and adoration, about faith, hope, and forgiveness." For Tutu, these were priority and preference. Singer-songwriter Kenny Rogers stated that there are three items that we all need: someone to love, something to do, and something to look forward to. And in answer to his persistent questioning about why his mother made him go to church three times a week, she said to him, "You're never going to be more of an adult than what is put into you as a child, so you need to go." In a similar vein, John Newfield of Winnipeg, in conversation with him some time ago from First Mennonite Church, he said, "You need three things to grow old gracefully: curiosity, a sense of humor, and a passion for what you do and who you are and what you believe." Then he gave an example. He said his wife was having difficulty with her heart and went to see a specialist. And the specialist looked at the information and looked at her and said, "I think you're just fine." And she said, "But what about this or this or that?" And he said to her, "Well, I think you read too much." They weren't quite pleased with the outcome of all that, so they decided to go to another specialist, and he looked at exactly the same data, and he said to her, "This is serious. You need to do something, and we need to do something quickly, because if you don't, or if we don't, you will not live long." So she had some surgery and recovered well, but would have been long passed away had that not happened. And his reflection, John's reflection about this was, he says, "Well, yeah," he says, "the first specialist, he was maybe in his mid-50s. He had done this for a long time. He was maybe looking forward to retirement, I'm not sure, but he said his suggestion was that the first specialist was no longer curious. This was just some paper shuffling and wasn't curious any longer." Priorities are so important. They guide our actions, our talking, our thinking. And a proper set of them can provide life and wholeness and meaning and significance. So what might be your priorities for this coming year? If you would list them and write them down, what would they be? What matters to you? And why does it matter? Where will your priorities take you? And will they get you closer to being who you really want to be and where you want to be? Becca Lachman says that for as long as she can remember, her father has displayed handwritten messages to ponder on the refrigerator door. And if you want to know how he's feeling about the world, those posted messages always gave her a clue. "For the past few years, this has been the highlighted list on my parents' fridge. Four short statements. Number one, life is not fair. Number two, life is hard. Number three, it's not about me. And number four, I am going to die." She said, "When I first saw the list, I gave my dad a hard time, teasing him about having a martyr complex. But then something happened. The list wouldn't get out of my head, partly because so many things in my daily life seem to be trying to convince me of the opposite. I am in control and important. And life isn't supposed to be hard, right?" The book of Proverbs can also be claimed as viewed as a set of priorities. They are sayings gleaned from experience handed down to the next generation. They continue to be told and retold because there's an element of truth in them. They have stood the test of time. Usually they're short, often in the form of providing opposites or comparisons, pointing to the effect or end result of a course of action. If you follow this road, you take this path, this is where it will lead you. Often there's a practical side to these proverbs, a down-to-earth approach, and there's a lot of diversity in the topics discussed and observations made about knowledge, morality, control of the tongue, association with others, laziness, justice, and violence. There's not a lot of topics that escape the author's comment. Just a couple of them. Some of these are more well known. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a downcast spirit dries up the bones. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. He who closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself cry out and not be heard. And he who meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ear. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. A ruler who lacks understanding is a cruel oppressor. But he who hates unjust gain will prolong his days. I still remember Kathy Peters when she was alive and visiting with her in the hospital and at other times. She would often point to the Proverbs and recite them or read them, and she would always tell us, you need to read these, she says, they're important. Don't just pass them by. That was often her statement. Read the Proverbs, she would say. What is of primary intent in this book? It goes beyond mere observations to also include God. These Proverbs were written for learning about wisdom, for understanding, for gaining instruction, and to teach. And the major overall theme is found in the first chapter, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Eugene Peterson puts it this way. He says, start with God. That takes priority. Nobody or anything else is as foundational and trustworthy, so that's where you start. And the first step in learning is you bow down to God. Only fools, he says, thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning, because wisdom is to be sought after. You are exhorted to seek it. It's described in the Old Testament as intellectual shrewdness, good sense, sound judgment, moral understanding. It gives a person the capacity to deal with the meaning of life. It's a skill in living, an ability that needs to be learned. And if a person refuses to learn, Proverbs simply describes that person as a fool. Because he says in chapter 14, verse 1, in the psalmist, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. In his heart, in the center of his being, he makes this claim. See, we as humans always tend to worship somebody or something. And if it's not God, then it's something else of our own making. And according to the book of Proverbs, we miss the perspective on life, because wisdom equals life and folly equals death. So in that sense, wisdom literature is like a missionary who seeks out in search of every person who, without teaching, is not on the right path. It invites and insists and exhorts people to, I want you to listen, take note of this message. And Old Testament wisdom parallels Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus is the wisdom teacher who says to us all, come and have life. Come unto me. Jesus is the wisdom teacher of life, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And just a couple of examples. How did he do this? Well, on the Sermon on the Mount, for instance, on the topic of trust and anxiety and what to eat and what to wear and what to drink, and topics about generosity and treasures, he says, Gentiles, seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So here's what I want you to do. He says, first this, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Right relationships with God and others. And then all these things will be yours as well. It follows. This way, the meaning, the purpose, and fulfillment don't get all mixed up. It's simple. It's profound. It's also difficult. So just as an example, recall the story in Mark chapter 10, where there's a fellow who comes to Jesus and asks him, what am I supposed to do to to gain eternal life, Mark 10:17 and following. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. So here's what you need to do. You know the commandments." And he lists the commandments. He says, "Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. Honor your father and mother." And the guy's response is interesting. He says, "I've kept all of these commandments from my youth up." Jesus looked on him and loved him and said, "You lack one thing." So what's instructive about what Jesus did here? When he listed the commandments, which ones did he list? He listed the bottom half of the commandments, didn't he? The last six. Was Jesus just somehow not knowing what the first ones were or what the ordering was or what the... No. Jesus is pretty sharp. Give him a little more credit. Jesus knew what this man's dilemma was. And so he listed first the other six and said, "Yeah, you've done well. You've done really well. But you've missed the first one, two, three, and four. Certainly the first couple. You shall have no other gods before me. And don't make for yourself a graven image." This man went away really sorrowful. He wasn't quite ready to do that. It was tripping him up. See, the order is important. The listing is important. Jesus knew that as well as anybody. And why does Exodus 20 start with that? "You shall have no other gods before me." When you do that first, then the rest of the order falls into place and the rest of the order doesn't get mixed up. Because the last six follow the order of the first four. So again, what proverbs do we live by? What are the sayings that take priority for us? Which do you hold to, believe in, allow to influence your life? Which ones do you pass on to your children and grandchildren? Are they reliable? Are they life-giving? What is their source? And what will guide our direction for this coming year? Here's some possible suggestions. Don't ask God to do what you want. Ask God to do what is right. You'll give up on yourself before God will. Always. No one is useless to God. No one. You will never forgive anyone more than God has already forgiven you. To see sin without grace is despair. To see grace without sin is arrogance. To see them both together in tandem, that is conversion and transformation. A couple more. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Be still and know that I am God. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And one more for this morning. From back to chapter 3 in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So he says, start with God. God, who wants this relationship with each one of us. At the beginning of a new year, that's always a priority for living a meaningful life. Start with God. Loving God with all of who and what we are. Because then God can lead and guide in the midst of the many experiences and varied priorities that always vie for our attention. Amen. On this Sunday, often called Epiphany, which means appearing or manifestation, we are reminded of the appearing of the wise men from the east, those who came from another land to worship the newly born King of the Jews. Rather unlikely choice, these travelers from afar, strangers, Gentiles, who believed that something significant enough had happened to necessitate their coming. They followed the star, the light in the heavens, till it came to rest over the place where the Christ child was born. Gentiles coming to worship, following the light. And such a great example of what was a priority in their life. From 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. This walking in the light, the commitment and the obedience, and the good news becomes real for us. So this morning we have these symbols of the bread and the cup. They also represent the highest level of commitment and obedience, all the way to the cross. We are invited to come, to recognize, to humbly proclaim who we are in the sight of this God, to ask for God's mercy and grace, and we come also with joy and celebration for having experienced this mercy and grace in our lives. And we come with anticipation of eating together in that great celebration yet to come, when we will sit down with all the saints at the banquet feast which God will provide for us. And so we invite you to come. For those who wish, childcare will still be provided in the basement during this time, and you are invited to take your children there at this time if you choose to. Just one more verse from Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. I'm going to ask that, as we have done in the past, that we would demonstrate our willingness to do this by physically kneeling at our bench in prayer as we are able. Let us come before God's presence. Let us kneel. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us when we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took this bread as a symbol of his broken body, or yet to be broken. And when he had broke it, he proclaimed to his disciples, "I want you to take and eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." This body broken for each one of us. As he offered a prayer of thanks for this, let us do the same. Let us pray for the bread. You, O Lord, invite us to answer your call of invitation, to come like the wise men to the manger, to worship, to follow the light, to let it illumine our path. You offer that bread which extends to us, to all of us, even people of unlikely choices, people like us, people like the Magi long ago, to place you at the center of our lives, to live our lives according to your script, to your light, to the path that you show us. Accept our commitment to you, the bread of life, nourishment for our life with you today and always. Amen. We will distribute this and wait until everyone has received, and then we will eat it together. I invite the servers to come and serve the bread. Did we overlook anyone? Let us feed on, this is symbolic of the body of Christ, let us feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us eat together. In the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper and he said to his disciples, "This is symbolic of the new covenant sealed by my blood. And whenever you drink it, do this also in remembrance of me." Let us offer a prayer of thanks for this cup. Let us pray. This cup, O Lord, is the representation, the expression of your outpouring of your great love for us, your commitment to being obedient to the will of the Father, a commitment always in favor of life, abundant life in you, and eternal life with you. We give you our heartfelt thanks. To you be honor and glory, God of all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. We will again distribute and wait until everyone has received and then drink it together. Again, did we overlook anyone? Let us drink this cup of blessing. Let us be thankful. Gange, to lead us in a closing song, please.
Please stand as we sing "All the Way My Savior Leads Me."
Bow for a closing prayer and a benediction. Let us pray. Lord, the light of your star guided those travelers of long ago over a world of silent hopes, dim visions, and dark fears. Still, the light of your grace shines. In a world often shrouded by darkness, both tragic and willful, we dare to boldly proclaim, "Our light has come." The glory of your grace shines upon us. And you have said that you are the light of the world, and those who believe in you and follow you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Thank you for this promise. The Lord bless you and keep you today and always. Amen. May the light of God's presence go with you.